one of the things that we do here, if you're new to if you're visiting with us, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that in Scripture, God gives us wisdom and guidance for our lives. And so one of the things we do on Sundays when we come together, part of our worship service is we stop, we turn to the Bible, we open it, we read a portion of it, and one of us, like, is one of the things that I do is we talk about it for a while to gain wisdom from God. And so where we are right now recently, we've been in the very first book in the Bible, and we've been doing something like a biographical sketch. We've been looking at this unbelievable story of this guy whose name is Joseph. And from chapters 37 to 50, we've been following his story in the first book of the Bible of Genesis. And there's a whole lot to learn from Joseph's story. But the primary thing that we're seeing is that the dominant theme is on forgiveness. We're learning how to forgive. And do you ever go, I got that figured out, Eddie, can we move on? Will we ever have that figured out? I haven't had it figured out. I selfishly chose this series so that I could learn to forgive. It's learning to forgive ourselves. That can be hard. Learning to forgive others. Learning to give forgiveness. Learning to receive forgiveness. And most of all, is learning how to forgive others as God has forgiven us. Is that ever not relevant? I am convinced that at the root of solving what we see going on in our world with conflicts and wars and the unending division and bickering and fighting in our nation, and the breaking up and the hurt we see of so many families, like, if we can figure this out, forgiveness, that's at the root of solving so much of this. But as we're coming now to the end of Joseph's story, we're in chapter 50, and it ends in chapter 50. We've got two lessons here. We see that it ends with the story of Joseph's father, Jacob, who dies. And then following that, it ends in our final lesson, which we'll see is the death as well of our main character, our secondary. Jesus is our main character in the story of Joseph. But in this closing chapter of this story, we see that forgiveness, we've already seen, if forgiveness is hard, certainly. But forgiveness can also be hard to receive or even hard to believe. When I look and consider all that I've done, the horrible things that I've done, the hurt that I've caused, can I really be forgiven? It just seems as though the idea, the thought of forgiveness is almost too good to be true. And so there are times in our lives when we need reassurance. Reassurance of forgiveness. And that's the whole thing that's going on here in this chapter here, in chapter 50. So the passage, the primary passage that I'm going to read today is chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. And I want to encourage you to be ready and follow along. I want you to get it with your ears. I want you to get it as well with your eyes. But what I want to do before we begin reading is I want to briefly tell you the story that sets the stage for what we're going to read. And then I want you in your life groups, your small groups that gather after our assemblies throughout the day today and other days of the week, to really read through this and unpack it in greater degree. As we saw in previous lessons, is Joseph's father, Jacob, his name is also Israel. You've heard of the Israelites. This is the guy where it all came from. As he's dying, he brings together his family. This is a beautiful scene. We saw last week he brought together his 12 sons. We saw before that he brought together his grandchildren. He's saying his goodbyes, and he's blessing them in a sense, as we saw last week. And then as chapter 49 came to a close, we didn't spend a lot of time there, but before he dies, he says, okay, look, here's what I want you to do about my burial. And he gives him burial instructions. He said, I want you to take my body and take it up from Canaan, from Egypt, where he and his family were, and I want you to take my body. It's a long journey all the way back to Egypt, because I want to be buried there with my family. And that was actually in a family cemetery that was something more like a cave in that day. And so we read in the very last verse of chapter 49, in verse 34, it says, when Jacob finished commanding his sons or giving them these instructions, it says he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. It's not really my main point that I want to emphasize today, but I just had to stop. I love that description of death. Like, if I've got to die, and I'm going to die, I like the thought of being gathered to my people. For Jacob, it wasn't he curled up his feet in his bed and he died, and then he went into this dark black hole of non-existence. But there's something beyond death with his people and those who have gone before him. And so this incredible patriarch has died. And then you walk into chapter 50, and this is where we are today, and I'm not going to read the first half, but there's this amazing funeral procession, like a state funeral of some incredible dignitary, where they're taking Jacob and they're moving him from Egypt all the way back to the family cemetery, and it's loud and it's huge, and there's all these Egyptians that are going along with them, and the people who lived in this land of Canaan are blown away by it. And then Jacob there is buried. And so after they bury their father Jacob, we then read in chapter 50 and verse 14, after he buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone with him to bury his father. So they leave their father there and they go back to Egypt. And we know in the story, it's not going to be for another 400 years that they step foot on their homeland. So that's where we pick up our story today. We began reading in chapter 50 in verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. If you know the story, you're going, why this? Because do you remember in chapter 45, we have second, as I said before, to this incredible story of the death of Jesus on the cross, one of the most powerful stories of forgiveness and reconciliation of Joseph to his brothers that you can imagine. The incredible hurt that they caused Joseph. And there was forgiveness and there was reconciliation. But now it's really weird. Sometimes after the death of a parent, the true selves come out. And the brothers are starting to doubt Joseph's forgiveness. They're starting to think that this story of forgiveness and the way Joseph has been so kind to us, it's too good to be true. Joseph was just kind of acting like this because dad was alive. Now that dad is gone, man, he's gonna come after us. He's gonna hate us. He's gonna take revenge on us. He's gonna repay us. He's gonna punish us. And see, Joseph had the authority in Egypt to kill them, to punish them. And so you see, it's kind of hard to believe forgiveness. I mean, really? And it's really hard to receive. It's hard to accept. Joseph can't be that good to forgive us. And especially when you consider what we did to him. And I'll say here that you can talk in your life groups about the motive and the attitude and sincerity of his brothers, but to his brothers' credit, it seems as though they owned and took responsibility for what they did by identifying their hurt. You notice in verse 17, there's three different words. It's in verse 16, 17, and 18, they speak of their transgression. That's a fancy Bible word. That means the wrong that we did against you. And they speak of it as sin. And they speak of it as evil. They're not making excuses for their actions. They're not sugarcoating nor minimizing what they did. And they're not giving one of these, "We're sorry, Joseph, but man, it was when you put on that multicolored coat and started flaunting it around and dancing around, there's no "I'm sorry, but." Listen, if you've hurt someone, and chances are if you're breathing, you have. If you've hurt someone and sinned against them, one of the most powerful things you can do to helping position that person's heart to be forgiven and come back to a place of reconciliation is just to own what you did. Don't make excuses. Don't rationalize. Don't give the "I'm sorry, but." Just own it. And so here's what we're seeing here. When there's been hurt and a conflict with people, the rebuilding of trust on the person that's been hurt, that has forgiven, that takes time. It's not like, "I forgive you and now I just everything." No, it takes time to rebuild that hurt, rebuild that trust. But also, evidently, what we see here, it also takes time to rebuild the trust and acceptance that I'm really forgiven. And so there was a need here for Joseph's brothers to be reassured. And so it's here that we find in this interaction of Joseph with his brothers, there's four lessons I'm going to leave you with this morning. They're on forgiveness as Joseph is reassuring his brothers that he is forgiven. The first one we find, it's actually right here in the words of his brothers spoken to him. And point number one is, forgiveness is rooted in what you do, not what you feel. Forgiveness is rooted in what you do, not what you feel. It's really interesting, this story, the whole theme that I've given it is choosing forgiveness and God's sovereign plan, but you never see the word forgiveness come up in the story throughout most all of the story. There's an implication, there's the example of Joseph that is like covered up with the idea of forgiveness, but it's now that you get to, not until you get to the final chapter here in chapter 50, that we see the word forgiveness. It's mentioned twice, and as a matter of fact, accompanying that word is what we would call the antithesis of forgiveness, is also mentioned, that could be translated hatred or a grudge. And they make a very important point when you define these words. You notice in verse 15, Joseph's brother said, "Oh man, dad is dead. Now we know what Joseph is going to do." And they said, perhaps it may be that Joseph will hate us. Or if you wanted to translate that from the Hebrew, which the Bible was originally written in the Old Testament, into English, you could actually say, perhaps Joseph will hold a grudge. Now that word for grudge, it's an action verb. Meaning it's not something you feel, it's something you choose to do. As a matter of fact, in the what they call the dictionary of Hebrew and the lexicons, it means, listen to this, to cherish animosity against someone. You ever done that? I have. I'm embarrassed to say that. Where like it feels right, doesn't it? It feels right to hate them. It feels right to be angry at them. It feels right to hold that. How, whatever other way could it be? But you see, this word that's used here, it's not this feeling that passively comes over you. It's something you pick up and you choose to hold. But here's what happens. It's my observation that those who pick up and choose to hold a grudge do so until eventually that grudge begins to hold them. And it begins to grow on the inside, like the New Testament talks about, a root of bitterness to one's self-destruction. So that's to hold a grudge. It's an action. It's what you do. But here's the thing, if you're holding it, guess what you can do with it? You can let it go. And so we've got the opposite here, and we got the word the opposite of grudge or hatred, and we have the word forgiveness. And it comes up twice in verse 15, and it's similar in its meaning too, in the sense that it is also an action verb, and it means to pick something up, to take it, and get rid of it, to literally to carry it away. And so here's the thing. It's not this feeling that finally comes over you. You've been carrying hurt and anger and hatred, and finally it just dissipates, and you're just feeling like, I'm ready to forgive now. Maybe you are, maybe you're not, but this is not something that's rooted in a feeling. It's rooted in a choice that you make to do what is right. Because here's the thing, your feelings, our feelings, hey, you know the story, like this is one of the most emotional stories from chapter 37 through 50. There's more weeping and crying going on. There's just emotions all over the spectrum. But Joseph here has not been guided by how he feels and by his emotions. He's guided by a choice to do the right thing. So here's what this means. And some of you aren't going to like this. If you're saying, I hear you, I'm hearing you, but I can't forgive. That's not true. It's not that you can't forgive, it's that you're making a choice not to forgive. It's an action. Sure, the feelings are hard, aren't they? It makes it hard. And I can't take my hands and pull them inside and just, let me get that anger out, let me get that hurt out. I can't get that feelings of hatred out towards somebody, what they did. I can't do that. But what I can do is I say, I can make the actions that God has called me to make, actions that emulate God's actions towards me. That I can do. And here's the hopeful goal. Here's what I believe happens. The Holy Spirit works in those moments, is I'm just going to do what is right, regardless of how I feel, whether good or bad. And as a result of obeying God and doing what is right and forgiving, God will transform my heart. So the first point, forgiveness is rooted in what you do, not in what you feel. And so the next three points, they come from Joseph's response to his brothers, and that you need to forgive us, please forgive us, we're scared. We pick that up in verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that which many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted and spoke to them. Point number two, forgiveness is rooted in understanding that he is God and I'm not. Did you hear what Joseph said? When his brothers were asking him, "Joseph, forgive us," he says in verse 19, "Am I in the place of God?" And isn't it crazy what happens when you've been hurt, when somebody's wounded you, when somebody's coming against you? It's almost so you take this place of God. You take this place of a position of authority over them, and it's up to you to do what is right. It's up to you to choose. Should I punish them? Should I treat them like this? Should I treat them like this? You have that position. You have that right. No. You don't have that right. By saying, Joseph saying, "Am I in the place of God?" Joseph is saying, this isn't for me. Vengeance, you know it in the New Testament. Some of you do. Read Romans 12. Vengeance is not mine. That belongs to God and God alone. If you sit in judgment against someone who has wronged you, and thus you live in unforgiveness and you refuse to forgive them, you're sitting in God's chair. You just need to get out. That place belongs only to God. Only God really knows that person. Only God really knows the motive and the heart of that person. And only God has the right and the ability. If there is a need for vengeance or repayment or punishment, God has the ability to do that without becoming evil himself. When you take that role, you become evil and you end up in your efforts to win, you lose. It's like really clear. Just read it. Genesis to Revelation. God is not calling us to forgive. He's commanding us to give. It's not, hey, you ought to really forgive. Got it? All right. We'll see y'all. No. This is not a choice that you have, because if you choose not to forgive, you're standing in disobedience to God, and thus you're on the path of forfeiting His forgiveness to you. Scripture's really clear on this. So I'm sensing in Joseph this attitude. Am I in the place of God? I'm not God. I am a broken, flawed, sinful human who has been forgiven by God, and I have no other option than to extend that forgiveness to another. Now, what the other person does with that, that's on them. Whether they respond positively, whether they turn to God and they turn to you in repentance or not, that's up to them. But it's up to me to offer forgiveness to others as God has to me. Thirdly, we see here in this passage that forgiveness is rooted in the understanding of God's sovereignty. I think if there are two things about Joseph's story that you never forget, everybody remembers, especially if you grew up going to Sunday school, the coat of many colors, remember that. And then the other thing you'll always remember about Joseph is this one statement where he says to his brothers, okay, it was really bad what happened, but you meant it for evil. So he didn't say, oh, that's okay. No, it was really bad. It was really bad. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. What Joseph's brothers did against him was despicable. They tried to kill him. And then they said, no, let's make money off of him. Let's sell him into a slave, as a slave. What they did was terrible, but it could not thwart God's plan and purpose for Joseph. Instead, God took the evil they did, He reversed it, and He used it for incredibly good purposes. You see, forgiveness realizes that regardless of what someone else has done to me, regardless of how hurtful it was, no one can ruin my life. Not unless I choose to let them. Forgiveness realizes that God's sovereign purpose and plan in my life is greater. It's greater than the hurt that was caused to me. And nothing can stop God's plan and purpose in my life, not unless I allow it. And sure, likely in the heat and the hurt of the moment, Joseph didn't know what God was up to. He knew he was up to something. But now, 110 years later, in 2020 hindsight, he realized it. And so forgiveness realizes that in the heat and the hurt of the moment, God is still in control. God is still sovereign. God is in control and not the one who hurt me. And I'm not going to give them control. And forgiveness understands that when God is in control, we can know that in all things, whether good or bad, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. That's in the New Testament. You see, when I began to understand this, it begins to position my heart to be forgiving. And that's why we have the title of this series, Choosing Forgiveness in God's Sovereign Plan. Forgiveness flows from a confidence and a trust in God's sovereignty and believing, this is horrible, I hate this, but God's got it. Karen and I prayed this morning with this verse. We are going through an incredibly painful, dark, hurtful moment that is challenging everything we've understood about forgiveness, but knowing that in spite of it all, God is sovereign, God is in control, and He can take this mess that we don't see how, and He can move it to incredible redeeming ways. The final thing that we learn from this lesson is, from this passage, is forgiveness is rooted in the image of God. So you read verses 19 through 21. Did you see how he spoke to them? And when you see how Joseph spoke to him, it's kind of like, if you've been reading your Bible, if you've known God just a little bit, you realize that's just basically the reflection of the image of God. He's just imaging God's love in this story. Listen to what he says. He first of all starts out saying, do not fear. He says it twice because they were fearful. He's not wanting to hold this over their head. He's wanting them to be okay with themselves. He doesn't want them to carry the guilt and the shame. He wants them to know it's over. It's over. No need to fear. And then also he says to them, did you see this? He says, I will provide for you. I'll even provide for your little ones. That's forgiveness. That's God's forgiveness. It's not, I forgive you, but here's what, there's no repayment. There's no vengeance. There's blessing. Unbelievable what could happen in your heart and your life if you would choose to bless those who have cursed you and hurt you. I'll provide for you. And then he says, he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So, if you say, I forgive you, with that attitude, and you treat them with coldness, they're going to have a hard time believing you've forgiven them. You know why? Because you haven't. Because that's not true forgiveness. Joseph spoke kindly. He was comforting them, giving them reassurance, reassurance of forgiveness. And you see what he's doing by his words and his actions. He's picking up and taking and carrying away and being done with what they did to him. He's treating them the way that God had treated him. And so, as I said to you earlier, forgiveness is not what you feel, it's what you do. And you may be thinking, well, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Just follow this playbook. Treat others as God has treated you. Forgive others as God has forgiven you. Use with others the same measuring stick that God uses on you. And so, as I close, I just want to ask you this question. Is there someone in your life who needs your forgiveness that you've been holding back? Or someone that needs your reassurance, as we see here? Someone that you need to comfort, to speak kindly to. Someone you need to contact and say, it's over. We're good. And someone that you can bless in some way. Or is there someone you need to forgive? Or are you the person who needs forgiveness or reassurance? Because look, here's what happens. Sometimes, even though God has forgiven us, we sit and start thinking about some of the stuff we did, and we think, good grief, that was horrible. There's no way God can be that good. After all that I've done, the sin, the evil, the transgression, use whatever you want, words you want to use. Is he really that good? Will I die and step before God, and God will say, oh, this is a bit much. Will he change his mind? As we're going to see in the final lesson in Joseph's story, our assurance or our reassurance, it rests not in trusting how good or how bad we've been, or it does not rest in our faithfulness to him, but it's a beautiful ending, as we'll see. It rests in trusting in God's faithfulness to his promises to us. It rests in trusting his goodness. See, that's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is called good news. Because listen, he really is that good. This is God's word to us today. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? So, Lord, you're amazing. I take no credit for what I just heard. These are your points. I just pointed them out. Oh, Father, But may these be more than words on a page and words that go into our head. Let them go down deep in our heart. And Holy Spirit, get in there with these words in our heart and plant them like seeds and let them grow and let them just remove hatred and anger and hurt. Let them grow to be seeds of fruit of compassion and love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And Father, show us what this means as far as what we're to do, whatever that means. Embolden us in that way, and we just thank you. And that's such an understatement. We thank you for your forgiveness granted to us. May we emulate that and pass it on to others. We're going to offer this song up to God in prayer. And if you've come this morning with a heavy heart and you just need someone to pray with you, our prayer room is open. We have a shepherd and some others there that are with them. We have shepherds here in this room, and we've asked them to kind of get out of their seats and come looking for you, or if you want to go to them. Or if there's more people than there are shepherds in here, if you're struggling with a burden in your heart and you need prayer, just reach out and say, hey, would you pray with me? Or if you know someone in that position, who needs your hug, who needs your encouragement. He needs you to speak a word of comfort and speak kindly to them. I want to encourage you to go to them and pray with them. And if you're just struggling to understand forgiveness from God, what does that look like? What does that mean? I'm going to be in the back of the auditorium in the foyer for a while. And if you'd like to come and talk to me more about that, I'll be there. Let's offer this song up to God and go before Him in prayer.